This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley.
Well, hello there. It's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. It's Halloween season. Hope things are going wonderful for you. So this week, I don't know, a publicist reached out to me, a publicist that I really love. Her name is Stacy. And she says, hey, it's Halloween season. Do you want to talk to a high priestess about rituals and root work, which I'd never heard of root work before? And I'm like, sure, I'll do it. So I had this chat with a woman named Satin, who is a high priestess, in her words, ninth generation. And after I was done with it, I'm like, oh, I don't know if my Shine On peeps want to go into this whole thing. I don't know if I'm going to air that interview. So then my hairdresser came over. Yes, Tara comes to my house to cover my grays. And she's lovely. And we're having a chat. And kind of out of the blue, Tara starts talking about how her grandma and her great-grandma, Irish Americans, Irish Catholic Americans, would read tea leaves. And that, you know, it was a family thing passed down from generation to generation. Then that Tara's sisters are actually gifted at it. And Tara's mother used it as like a hobby in the retirement village, you know, reading people's tea leaves. And she says, who doesn't love having a lovely cup of tea with somebody? And then, you know, getting a little reading of the future or the current or the past. I don't know what's in the tea leaves. They're your tea leaves. And I said, all right, well, then maybe I will, in the spirit of Halloween, air this conversation with the high priestess whose name is Satin. Satin like the fabric. I guess many of us can look back through our heritage and ancestry and see that the family has had some sort of ritual outside of mainstream religion or something that helped them, that gave them information or soothed them or gave them conversation or I don't know what. Because as you'll hear, I remember my grandmother doing something with a potato and olive oil and some kind of ritual about people getting married, wedding rings. I don't know. There was stuff happening at the kitchen table with the women. And maybe you can remember that in your family as well. And in the spirit of that, you're going to hear this from Satin.
Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. It is Halloween time in the Hudson Valley and all over the universe, for that matter. But it's especially beautiful here in the Hudson Valley. And we have a wonderful guest, and we're going to talk about all things witchy. Now, before you turn away and say, oh, no, I don't do that, let me share a conversation I had with a priest the other day. As many of you know, I run two retreat centers now, Holy Mountain Retreat Center for the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement at Graymore. And they have a priest visiting them right now. And he was having a very serious conversation about how the clergy people, but the clergy in particular, are under spiritual attack. Those were his words. And he said, we have to be very careful about who we bring into our space. He said he has done exorcisms in places, not on people, in places where people have gathered for reasons that he felt were portals. So he was saying, be careful. This is something we don't talk about. Many of us in this healing community talk about the love and the light and moving away from darkness and la, 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 la. But I got to tell you, it is a real eye-opener to have a priest say, a Catholic priest, we have to be careful about the people we bring into our environment. Wowza. That's pretty spooky to hear, no matter what the time of year, right? Do you ever really think about that there may be negative forces in the universe? Maybe we humans ourselves can be the negative forces in the universe. Maybe not maybe, right?
Do you ever feel like you were cursed? That's what we're going to talk about today with Satin Sanchez. It's important to note that Satin Sanchez is a biochemist with a master's degree in biochemistry and a ninth generation high priestess. A ninth generation high priestess who blends ancient root work and energy rituals with modern science to keep the good energy flowing and ward off the bad stuff. Okay, Satin Sanchez, welcome to Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show.
Thank you for having me.
What ways can we be cursed?
In many ways. I like that you noted sometimes we could be the negative energies, not necessarily something that we don't understand or someone that we don't know. Sometimes it is your friends. Sometimes it is family. Sometimes it is the guy that you like. It could be your circle that you are choosing. You're choosing wrong. But you can be cursed in many ways. There could be generational curses. So that's curses that have been on your family. So it's tied to your bloodline. So that's why it's not easy to break. That's why you see people have, just like for DNA, let's just talk about DNA in a scientific aspect. I'm not going to get too deep into it because I know not everyone understands science. But when you think of cancers, when you go to the doctor and he says, well, does your mom or your dad have cancer? They ask that because it can be genetically linked. The same thing for curses and hexes, it can be genetically linked. So if no one breaks that curse, for instance, the curse of poverty, you find that families sometimes have poverty for generations and you wonder why, but didn't anyone break this? That's because they didn't know how. And no one actually wanted to do the work to get out of it. You can have generational curses in love where no one in your family has successful marriages. No one really looks at it that way, but that's exactly what's happening. So it can come in a lot of different forms. I think it's just hard for people to come to terms with what is really occurring. And that's why it doesn't get broken. So it goes from generation to generation and everyone has to deal with that same curse, but no one is breaking it.
Okay, I can get on this train of thought for a little while, but there's something in me that says, there's something in me that says, why would anyone want to curse generations of people? How did they get that power? And how can the people they cursed be so deaf, dumb, and blind to the fact that they're under a spell?
Humans in general don't really think outside of the box. Unfortunately, I mean, we see that in social media, people are so easily distracted and blinded, or they just believe, you know, anything like, oh, that couldn't happen to me because I did this and I am this. And so it's easy for them to be deaf, dumb, and blind. I would be more astonished if more people really noticed what's happening to them so they can get out of it. That would be more of a huge shift. But I don't think it's, you know, difficult. It's just that people need to be more awakened and they also need to be aware of the energies that are out there. You can believe in spirituality or not. It doesn't matter, but the energy is there. We're still spiritual beings. You don't have to believe in it for it to affect you. But as far as why would someone curse someone, I don't know. It would have to be maybe they did something to their family, so that's retribution, or there could be many reasons why they would decide to. I don't do it, so I can speak, you know, for the people that try to hex and curse people, but it happens all the time.
If I were to curse somebody, wouldn't I get the blowback? Wouldn't I get the bad karma of that?
No, not necessarily. It really depends on who you are and how you're doing it. So someone that really knows how to curse, they do it right, it does not affect them. Reality is we want to believe that everyone gets a whiff of karma, but that's not true, right? There's plenty of serial killers out there that are still serial killing, you know? And did they get their karma? No. I mean, will they die one day? Yeah, but we all will. So that's just, it's not true. I would love for that to be true for all the horrible people and not just people that curse. I mean, just regular people that do bad things to people, that hurt people, say mean things, say mean comments. I would hope that they get their karma immediately, right? But that's just not how the universe works.
Satin Sanchez is a biochemist and a ninth generation high priestess. Geez, Satin, how do you get to be a ninth generation high priestess?
Well, I was born into it. So I didn't really have a choice.
Tell me all about
my
it.
Great grandmother, her grandmother. Yeah. So basically they're healers. So in modern day, they call us witches. They try to demonize us and say, you know, horrible things about what we do. But we are the doctors. We were the doctors before there was Western medicine. There was no Western medicine before. You know, that came about with Rockefeller. I'm not going to go too deep into that either. But basically, we are the healers, healing the people that are in our circle, the people that come to us to heal, the people that want to break that generational curse. They want to live a better life. They want to be wealthy. They want to be happy. For my girls in my tribe, it's about 150,000 of us. They all want the soft life. Everyone wants the soft life. And I don't blame them because we're tired of struggling. And so what I do in my practice, in my spiritual practice, is bring them back to who they are. And really bring them closer to their desires so they can live life on their terms. So that's what I do as a healer. I've been doing it since I was a baby in Pampers. I was helping my mom and my grandma make potions, herbal remedies, tinctures, doing spells and root work. It's just, it's in my bloodline, but it really is my passion and it's my purpose.
What is root work?
So root work is what I think people think spells are. Some people just do spells because they don't understand how to do root work, but root work is, for me, you really have to be born into it to know how to do it correctly, because I do ancient rituals that's just been passed down through generations in my family that no one else knows how to do. And that's why it's called root work, because it goes to the root. Spell work is more surface level. So, you know, some people Google spell work, you know, you might turn your mom into a goat. I don't know. But you really have to understand the inner workings of sacred ceremony. And that's what root work is. But it's really sacred and kind of secret, kind of high society. So not a lot of people have the power to do root work.
Yeah, I'm thinking about my grandmas and speaking and hearing people speak of great grandmas who read tea leaves or did some sort of Italian ritual with a potato and olive oil. And like there was a string you could use to tell if the baby was going to be this or that. Like,
yeah,
I think every family can think of a grandma or grandpa and some sort of ritual.
Yes.
Yeah, that we have in our own culture. So, all right. Did you like do any spells or anything at before we got on to do this podcast that it would go well? Did you have any ritual for that?
No, I didn't need to. I knew it would go well.
Yeah, me too. Me too. The feeling. Tell us about what really happens when we burn sage.
Well, you're burning sage. You are basically removing the negative energy in the space off of you as well. So the Indians also burn sage. So this is not just a new age thing. I know a lot of people look at it as like, oh my God, that's, you know, crazy. That's doing nothing. But it actually is. You'll notice I even have sage on my website, satinsays.com. And I bless it as well. So what it's going to do is remove that stagnant energy that's been like boggling over you. You feel like you have bad luck. You don't understand what's happening. The energy around you is very low vibrational. So what you want to do is take that off of you so you can feel like yourself again. You can breathe again. You can get that weight off of your chest. And that's what sage is going to do. Particularly with locations. I know you talked earlier about the priest saying that he has to do exorcism for locations as opposed to people. Well, I do exorcisms for bulls. And I use sage all the time. I also use Palo Santo. And then I use some of my spiritual cleanses that I create in my own lab as well. That's also on satinsays.com. And that is really going to help open the paths, because a lot of us have roadblocks in our lives because of the energy that's tied to us. So sage is going to uplift that energy. And also negative spirits don't like the smell of sage. I believe that's even... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, no. Negative spirits don't like this smell of sage. I get it. I get it.
Yes.
I kind of get it. and I also want to say this, too. Like, I march around the house with a bell and a candle and sage. Clapping into
horns
and moving around energy. I've just, I'm very sensitive to like the feeling in the room. And sometimes I'm like, all right, we need a cleansing. I do it at my office. I do it in spaces. I do it more for myself. You know, it makes me feel better. But here's the question I want. Like, I tell negative energy, get out. This is my house. Oh, you know, love or above house. I do my own little spell, Saturn. Yes. I'm asking you this. Where does that negative energy go? I tend to say, go into the earth and be cleansed. Where should we send negative energy?
I transmute it into positive energy because reality is energy never dies.
Okay. So can you transmute it? How do you transmute it?
So that's a part of my root work that I don't typically speak of exactly how I do it. However, yeah, transmutation is huge in alchemy. It's powerful, but you also see it in quantum physics. You can, just like I said, energy can never be destroyed, but it definitely can be transferred.
Mm-hmm. So you're a ninth generation high priestess. Why did you go into biochemistry?
My dad was a scientist.
Okay. How did he feel about the women in his house creating potions?
Well, my mom's also a priestess, so he's used to it. There was nothing weird about it to him. He thinks it's fascinating. He's also Muslim, so he's more open-minded. You know what I mean? Because, you know, the religion is pretty strict. But my mom also prays multiple times a day. So it wasn't, you know, like they made a compromise. It wasn't too crazy for them. But he absolutely loves what I do. He's seen what I've turned it into. And I'm, you know, everyone in the world pretty much knows me. I'm known everywhere in Europe, the U.S., Latin America. You know, I'm a pretty big name. So he's seen me take my passion and my power and create an empire that's, you know, changing the world with my root work. So he loves it.
Okay.
But I got into science because of him. Yeah.
Wonderful. So, you know, it's Halloween time. People are having some spooky thoughts. We've all heard of the evil eye, but what exactly is the evil eye? In my relatives would say, a malaik, yo. What is the evil eye exactly?
So that can come in many forms. And one of the most common ones that people don't know about is, like I said earlier, people in your circle send you the evil eye because they secretly are jealous of you and they don't want you to succeed. That's the worst kind of evil eye you can get because you are keeping these people in your circle and you're telling them all the things that you're happy about, but they're kind of wishing that you fail at it. And you don't even know. Because they're not going to come out and say, I hope you fail. I hope that you don't get that raise. I hope that you don't get that job. I hope that you don't get that check. But that's what they're hoping. So when they're seeing all of these amazing things happening in your life, they are hoping that it doesn't work out for you and that you don't do better than them.
So just by hoping.
That is evil eyes.
Evil eye is just jealousy?
It is jealousy, yes. It is hate. Hate in any way, shape, or form is an evil eye. It's the energy that someone is trying to send you, which is essentially kind of like a jinx or a curse as well. It might not be as profound as someone that deliberately does a ritual or a spell for it. However, it's still negative energy that could affect you. And that's why sometimes you might be on the phone and you tell one of your friends, oh my God, you know, I met this amazing guy and, you know, he's wealthy. He's taking me out on a yacht tomorrow. And she goes, are you sure? That sounds like you're maybe going to be his escort. You know, like those feed you this negative energy and say these wild, crazy things. And you're just thinking, wow, I thought you were going to say, well, I hope this works out. I hope, you know, he's amazing for you. But no, they want you to be like them. They want you to think like them. They want to feed you negative energy. That is an evil eye. Why would you say something crazy like that? People do that every day.
Yeah, they do. So you're going to tell us right now, Saturn Sanchez, how do we protect ourselves against this evil eye?
Well, I have an amazing root work on SaturnSays.com called Unhex, which takes out all the evil eye, all the blockages, any hexes that anyone put on you, any generational curses that anyone put on you, and any negative energy or stagnant energy that's been on you will be uplifted.
So that's Saturn Sanchez, and she can sell you a potion or sell you something to wash the floors in your house that would remove hexes and spells. And I guess you can hear my hesitancy around all this because it's just not my culture. It's somebody else's culture. I don't fully understand it or fully embrace it or fully endorse it. But I will say this, it got me thinking. It got me thinking about how many of us in daily life are often trying to cast spells, whether it's wearing our lucky socks or lighting a candle or walking a labyrinth or even, you know, The phrase came to mind this morning, killing someone with kindness. Often in our words and deeds, we are trying to alter the status quo. We are trying to cast a spell so things will go better. We're teaching our children to, not in a bad way, use their energy and use their words and use their actions to alter outcomes. If you do this, you get that. But what if we tried something else? Would it put us in a different frame of mind that would then change the reality or the outcome? I don't know. Just got me thinking that we're always, at least I am always, trying to make things better or different. And why not a spell? You know, why not tea leaves? Why not whatever the heck gets you on a path where you feel more authentically connected to spirit? You feel like something's on your side? You know, do good always, but I don't know. It's spooky season and we paste on spooky season, right? With our sugar skulls and our festive attire. But I don't know. Why not scratch the surface and cast a little spell? Maybe you do it nightly with your rituals and your cup of tea or your journaling or your meditation. We are all trying to create a new reality, I guess. I don't know. Halloween, interesting time to explore all of this. So thank you for exploring it with me. I'd always love to hear how you think about things. And you can always find me at caseysplace.com.